Well, dear students, you are now going to embark upon the adventure of creating the two most important financial planning documents that you will ever create, and you will keep them updated for the rest of your life, because these tools are imperative. They are so important to have, because if without them you can't see what's going on with your financial world. Now, we use spreadsheets because life is just so much easier with a spreadsheet, folks, instead of just having to bang away at your calculator forever, over and over again. So there are two here. There's the Excel spreadsheet that if you want to use and you have Microsoft on your machine, go right ahead. You click on this or tap on this, and it asks you to save it on your computer wherever you want to save it and play with it, and it's yours then. But I like Google Docs. I'll tell you, folks, I like them a lot better than Microsoft. And so I use that. So let's take a look, and it'll show you how to use a Google spreadsheet. It's very cool. It's very cool. It's very easy to use and easy to share with other people, and it's free. They give you a ton of storage. So I'm going to click on this guy right here, Google spreadsheet. And now what happens is you are taking to the spreadsheet, but you are in view only. Now, don't ask me for access to this thing because it's mine. And I don't want anybody else goofing with it, right? So you need to make a copy for yourself, right? Don't say, "Oh, Frank, I want to be able to edit your document." No. This document is for everyone, but you don't want to edit. We don't want other people editing, just me. So what are you going to do? You have two choices. You can download as, see, an Excel spreadsheet, open document for LibreOffice or OpenOffice, or a PDF. I'm not sure why you'd want a PDF. But you can download as many people will use Microsoft, or make your own copy, because all you need is a Google account. If you have a Gmail account, or they're free, you make a copy, and so it says copy of. Now I can get rid of the copy of, and you can put it into your drive. See, it's my drive, not your drive, but my drive. It will be your drive when you do it. So you click on that. And bingo, now it's in your drive. The drive that Google gives you, that you have, I forget how much. It's an outrageous amount of storage. And so, and I don't want to do that right now. I know because the reason I have it so small is because we don't want to make it really big, because it makes big files. And so that's why it's small. Now, notice that this is a relatively robust, not as powerful as Microsoft Excuse, but it's free, and it works for the vast majority of people. And so I'm going to hide the menus, which gives us more room. Now, here is where you can start editing it. And when you edit the documents in Google Docs, you don't have to save. They're automatically saved for you, as long as you're connected to the Internet. If you're not connected to the Internet, then what it does is it saves them on your local machine, and then once you're connected to the Internet, it sends them up when you're connected. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to put your name here. So who do we put here? Turner. You know, good old Turner. Where am I? On the right place? Yeah. Turner. Turner over, to good old Turner over. And so this is the cash flow statement. This is the most important one for the vast majority of us. And notice that we put in the employment, we put a few numbers in there. It's in your best interest to do this with real data. Now, some people are a little shy. They don't want to show me their data. Look, I cannot be made to divulge this. We have, we professors, we instructors, we teachers have pretty strong protection for our students' data. So don't worry, and I'm not going to give it out to anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody. But if you don't feel comfortable, just make up some data. But it's in your best interest to put your data in your spreadsheets and your financial statements and keep them up to date. So let's say he actually makes $2,600. Watch what happens. Now see the gray areas? Watch how they're going to change because those are formulas. You see how that went to $3,100? That went to $31,200? What's going on here? Well, these are formulas. And if you've never worked with a spreadsheet, it's actually pretty darn straightforward. It's like bingo. Once you start playing with it, you'll go, oh, I understand. So over here, you see B3 times 12. So it took the monthly number, which is in B3, and it multiplied it times 12. And then this bad boy down here took the sum of what's in B3 to B4. So you getting the idea? It's very straightforward, folks. Of course, they're incredibly powerful. There's all kinds of things that spreadsheets can do that most of us will never, ever use. But you get the idea. Now, the income taxes, I just did something really lame. I multiplied B3 times 14%, which is just totally lame. You should look at your tax return or your W-2 or your pay stubs and get an idea of how much taxes the feds and the state of California are taking out, all right? So some people will have, you know, they'll have like maybe $10,000, $1,000 a month or $900 a month, and they'll leave the 14% here. I say, no, you're not paying any taxes. Wait till we get to Chapter 3. You'll learn more about taxes there. So here's where you put in your rent, whatever it is, and notice that it changes automatically. Very cool. Whatever the gas and electric is, maybe your phone's only 55, cable bill, maybe you got rid of it, hit the delete key, and it disappears. Clothing, medic, overwrite. Maybe we have to pay for trash. So put the trash amount in there, and it's maybe, you know, $40 every month, $80 every 2 months. And miscellaneous, well, that's a catch-all phrase. That's toothpaste and soap and light bulbs and just, you know, various things. Maybe you don't have a car payment, so just zero it out. And so you're not paying any gas. Or maybe you do have a car payment and it's, you know, a couple $100 a month, but you only pay, you know, $60 a month in gas. How much is your insurance? How much is your maintenance? You have a newer car, maybe it's only $50 a month. So this is going to take a while, isn't it? You're going to take a few months to dial in, to fine-tune all the numbers. And, of course, other one, if there's no other one, just hit the delete key. Just zero it out or put the delete key in there. Now, these loan payments are payments, not the balance. The balance is going to go on the net worth. Wait till we get to the net worth statement. But this is our loan payment. So maybe this is our student loan. Maybe a student loan or we're making, you know, $60 a month payments, and maybe this is the squeeze ya or the disaster card. Yeah, the disaster card. We're making $40 a month payments. And then maybe we don't have a third payment, so we just hit the zero, hit the delete key or whatever. You understand? Don't put the balance here. That's going to go on the next page. Put the payments. Now, personal things. Maybe we go to the gym, and that's, you know, $40 a month. Maybe we take the dog to the groomer, and that's, you know, $25 a month. Hair care, maybe $25 a month. Beauty, entertainment. And I often use food. You notice food was up in household. I use entertainment, eating out. I put that under entertainment. But you can just make a separate category for it. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. You notice that the sum here is where you would want to take a computer. Whoops, what happened to that? Okay, get down there. Where you might want to take a CIS 101 or CIS 122B, where you learn how to use a spreadsheet. Because this sum right here goes from B38, which is right up here, which isn't being used, and there's a reason why, down to B43. So if you want to insert a row, there's a right click, and this is where you might want to talk with somebody who's a spreadsheet aficionado or learn how to use a spreadsheet, because you can right click and then insert. Oops, you can't see it, it's down below. Insert a row, but you got to be careful where you insert the row. If you insert the row in the wrong place, the formula won't work really well, and there's a lot of people who get hit by that. Insurance, most of you are not going to have insurance, so just zero that out. Savings, this is how not how much you have in savings, but this is how much you put in savings. Maybe we put $50 a month in savings. And then our Social Security Medicare is a formula that is, we'll discuss this later on in Chapter 3, but it's 7.65% of our income. And then whatever we put in retirement, maybe we have a 401k and we put $50 a month. Maybe we have a Roth IRA and we put $100 a month, not $1,000. And so what happens now is the spreadsheet takes our total income from the top, our total expenses, and then says we have $144 every month left over. And many people, sometimes that number is a lot bigger, and they go, wait a minute, that's not my reality. What's going on here? Well, you forgot about the whatever. You forgot about, well, I already had the dog groomer and the I didn't have the veterinarian bills. You forgot about the veterinarian bills. You know, so this is going to take a few months to get it right. And so keep on it. Print it, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your closet door, whatever. Now, that's the cash flow statement. Cash flow statement, also called an income statement. We want you to learn both. That's what the accountants hate it when we call it a cash flow statement. Ugh, they just hate that. But that one's the most important one for most people, especially younger. As you're in your system, as your personal financial situation evolves, the next one, here's cash flow, the next page, net worth becomes more and more important. When you first start out, this is probably not going to be very large at all. But if you have a condominium or a house, what is the fair market value, right? Whatever somebody, a reasonable person who wants to buy it will pay for it. If you don't have a condo or a house, hit the zero key. It disappears. Maybe you have a Ford Focus, and so it's worth maybe $5,500, and then you don't have a second car. If you do have a second car, put it in there. If not, zero it out. Now, what's our furniture worth? Is it worth $4,000? Maybe, but probably not. Maybe it's worth only $400, right? And our computers, we think they're worth $1,000, but maybe they're only worth $500. And then what else? What else do we have? Maybe a baseball card collection or something, which is not really worth $900. Maybe it's worth, you know, $180. And then whatever else you want to put in. Now, a lot of people will leave all these blank. They'll say, I don't own anything, younger folks. And I say, no, wrong. You're an American. You have a whole lot of folks. Just open up your drawers, open up your closets. You have a whole lot more than you think you have. So don't put zero here, all right? Don't put zero under miscellaneous. Now, financial assets. What's in our checking account? Maybe it's only $400. What's in our savings account? Maybe it's only $800. Any other investments we have? Maybe we have some stocks that somebody gave us that are worth, I don't know, $450. And then maybe that's all we have, so just hit the zero or hit the delete key. And then this is our 401k. If we have anything in our 401k, maybe we have only $1,200. Maybe we have $3,000 in our Roth. Any other retirement plans? No, just zero them out. Cool? So those are our total assets. So our total assets are what we own. Now, what are our liabilities? What do we owe? And you've gone through the presentation, right, I hope. Well, we don't have a car, we don't have a house, so we don't have any mortgage, so zero those out. On the Ford Focus, maybe we still own, I'm sorry, this is the wrong thing. Yeah, that was a credit card. Maybe on the disaster card, we owe, you know, $600. So this is where you put the payment down, right? You put the payment of the, I'm confusing you. I apologize. Here's where you put the balance. Here's where you put the balance to your loans. The payments go on the next sheet, the previous sheet, the cash flow. Here's where the payments go. Let's go back because people get confused. I just confused even more. Whoa, slow down. This thing is hard. When it's small, it's hard to deal with. There. Here's where we put the payments on the cash flow statement. Here's where we put the balances for our loans. And we don't own anything on the furniture. And we here's the Ford. Okay, put the Ford Focus. And we owe maybe $4,000 on that. We don't have a second car. So our total liabilities were $20,800. Our total assets were $16,430. Oh, I forgot. That's why. I thought I'd gotten rid of that, but I didn't. Get rid of the mortgage. Yeah, that makes more sense. Our total assets, $16,000. Our total debts, $5,800. So our net worth, our assets minus liabilities equals net worth. Cool? And again, as we said, this one is probably for you, especially younger folks, it's going to be much simpler, not very sophisticated. But as your financial situation evolves, the net worth statement becomes more important. The cash flow statement will always be important. Now, these are the two that are due for the assignment. But really, folks, it's in your best interest. Oh, yeah, another name for the net worth statement is balance sheet, which we learned in the presentation. That's what the accountants use. They don't like the net worth statement. But now, many people will, not everyone, but many people will get, you know, really, really gung-ho about this, we don't use the term budget, cash flow. So they will, after they've created their cash flow statement over here, they will then put these numbers in on this sheet, the monthly sheet, and then print it out, right? Print it out and put it on their desk or the refrigerator or whatever, and then write in the actual numbers. Put in the actual numbers and see how it varies from what you think it's supposed to be. And then you do that, at the end of the month, you put the actual numbers back in, write them in as the month goes along, put the actual numbers in, and you'll see the variance, and then over time you'll be able to figure out what's going on. And then, here's the really cool part, you come over here, and here you put in the month's data that you just figured out from this monthly. You put in the actual data for each and every month, and you will have an incredibly accurate picture of what is going on in your personal financial situation. Now, these are not part of the assignment, okay? The monthly and the yearly are not part of the assignment. You don't have to turn them in. You don't have to submit them. Because, first of all, it's going to take you a whole year to do them, right? And also, they're meant for just those individuals who get gung-ho about this. We mentioned that book, Your Money or Your Life, and they're not the only ones. But these are the people who believe you really should keep track of everything that's going on in your financial life. Other people think that's a little overboard, don't you? So yeah, it's up to you. You decide. You know, many people think you're crazy. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to keep track of every single dime that comes in and out of my pocket. And other people say, oh, that's the way to financial independence. That's the way to financial to understand your financial situation. So you decide. But for the assignment, the cash flow statement, the most important document, tells you the movie, as we say in the presentation, the movie of your financial life, income versus expenses, and what's left over. By the way, sometimes it's called what's left over, sometimes called the surplus or the discretionary, and then if it's negative, then it's called a shortfall or deficit. And then the net worth, the snapshot of your financial life, which is not as important, especially when you're just starting out, but as your financial situation evolves, become more important. Now, I hope I didn't go too quickly to go back over and look at it again, but it is in your best interest, dear students. I cannot emphasize it enough that you have these two documents up to date. And you'll see, you know, see, that's where you'll hear people say, I don't know where the money went. Well, you're going to know where you might not like it, but you're going to know where the money went, right? And that is the first step toward making changes, in my humble opinion, because now you can get a handle on where the money went. How come we have too much month at the end of the money, and make positive changes, write some goals, effective goals, and make positive changes. And I think it's very cool. and we want you to be awesome. We want you to succeed. We want you to be the best you can be, and that's our goal for you. Okay, so have at it. Best of luck and success to you. Contact me if you have any questions, and be awesome, dear students.